We have the drawback of TV and radio and moving pictures, weekend holidays, the beaches nearby. Oh, so many things to stand between the people and entering into the Lord's house on his day. Then another thing, it's a year-round playground. And among us always are millionaires and rich people who have no regard for the Lord's day or the Lord's house. And so that calls many of them into service on the Lord's day and keeps them away from the Lord's house. But in spite of that, the Lord has his way of reaching out and calling whom he will into his service and into his knowledge of him, into his love. We have, in these 20 years, developed a convention that has grown and has come of age. You can say it's graduated. I wouldn't say it graduated from college, but I guess it graduated from high school. It has been an interesting experience to be there from the beginning of the mission work, Foreign Mission Board work in that state until it was graduated, until it grew of age. When we first got there, there was one very small Southern Baptist church. It chose us. We didn't choose it. It chose us because the people who had started that church looked around over the world to find some group of people to whom they could attach themselves, who had the same love for the Lord and the same missionary purpose that they had. So that one little church with about 25 members used Southern Baptist literature and looked to Southern Baptists as their friend and fellow Christians. When we were stopped there, they invited me to stay and work in that little church. And I was glad because that was an open door for me. And I said I'd stay there until I could get back to China. Excuse me. And I began working. I said, if the Foreign Mission Board would agree, and I would go, I'd stay until I could get back to China. Well, we had a reply from the board, and the board said, we take the Hawaiian Islands as a field of Southern Baptist work, a permanent field, they actually said, a permanent field of Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board work, and we will bring to the islands other missionaries as they are released from other fields or driven out of other fields. And so soon there was a group of mature, experienced missionaries from the Orient who were there serving. As the years have gone, the work has matured perhaps more rapidly than it has anywhere else in the world. The goal of all mission work is to help it grow strong and mature and stand alone. Help it come to the place where it can govern itself, support itself, and send out workers to other places of the world. And that has come true in some of our churches in the islands. The fact, as Mr. Davis said, that we are a state has pushed us, one might say, a little hastily into this indigenous condition. And now the work is graduated. It is standing on its own feet to a certain extent. The Foreign Mission Board is withdrawing gradually its financial support. And each church is challenged year by year to increase its own self-support by 10%. So in 10 years, most of the work will be self-supporting, we trust. If there's no great financial crisis or depression that would come, surely that will be true within the next 10 years. And so the board is withdrawing its missionaries, and the churches are being supplied by local ministers and by other ministers who hear the call and go there to serve. It has been wonderful to be a missionary for 40 years, and I have learned some interesting things, some things that, as I look back over them, strengthen my faith in the great missionary task. One of those things is that God is love. His banner over us is love. The things that come into our life are His tender, loving care for us. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Another thing, God hears our prayers. He's a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. He knows better for us than we know ourselves. So sometimes He says yes, and sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait. But He answers our prayers. Then another thing I'd like to say is that life is a whole. Life is not a plate of broken pieces of glass. Life is not just one room and then another room and another room with a door that shuts between. But life is a whole, and although we cannot see all of the tapestry at one time, there is a pattern that is being worked out according to God's purpose for us. And then I'd like to say that we as Southern Baptists have a great task in the world. This is a needy world in which we live. It needs so many things that we have to give. But our missionary task is a spiritual task. Sometimes I think people think there are three elements in mission work. There's poverty and ignorance and idolatry. But I don't think so. I think the challenge to missionary work is a call to save lost souls. Our Lord came to the world to seek and to save those who are lost. Feeding the hungry is a glorious privilege. Teaching those who want to learn is a wonderful opportunity. But our missionary task, to rich or poor, is the call of lost souls to come to know the Savior. Surely we have an opportunity to teach. I'm just back from a trip around the world. And as I went to Hong Kong, I met many of my former students who are in Hong Kong now. And I had opportunities in Hong Kong, and again in Singapore, and again in Bangkok, to meet with a lot of my old students. That was one of the things that made me say, life is a whole. It's not just broken pieces. And I met these students now, rather middle-aged men and women, with some of them grown sons and daughters. And as we talked together, I said, where did your sons and daughters go to school? And almost to 100%, they said, Catholic schools. Why would they go to Catholic schools? Well, they didn't have public schools, almost no public schools, not nearly enough to meet the need. And then we didn't have the Baptist schools, the Christian schools for them. And so they went to Catholic schools. They wanted education for their children. They didn't have the Calvert system. So they sent them to the Catholic schools. One man said with such sorrow, "But my children promised me they wouldn't join the Catholic Church until after they're 21. Why didn't they go to Baptist schools? They weren't there. They weren't enough. They were too limited. They were inadequate for the great need that is there." In Hong Kong, there's our wonderful Pui To and Pui Ching and Henrietta Hall Shook Memorial School. But those schools, if they were multiplied by 10, would still not be enough. And so we have a task, a great task, of carrying the gospel to the lost people and using as a means education, healing, publication work, all the other means that we can use, we must use to carry the gospel to a lost world. And one more thing I'd like to say, how thankful I am to God that He let me serve Him. And how thankful I am that you and I are laborers together in this great task of foreign missions. This great task of bringing a lost world to know our Lord and our Savior. Thank you.
Ms. Plowden's concluding remarks prepared us for a brief consideration of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, our week of prayer for foreign missions that will come this next December. It was night when Mrs. Mathis and I arrived in Kobe, Japan. The missionaries met us and took us up on a high hill to see the city. But of course, not ever having seen the city before, we could only see how the lights of the city looked. The next morning, missionary Robert Shearer and his wife came to the hotel to get us early. We were to go to an all-day meeting at the church that day. The missionaries had to go early to make preparations, as you often do in your own churches. And so we arrived early at the church before other people were there. While they were busy making the preparations, Mrs. Mathis and I looked about the church, and then we greeted the other early comers. Now, among these was Corey Sensei, a man who holds an executive position with the Japan Baptist Convention. And he took over the job of showing us the church. We walked over to one side where the windows were open, and we looked out and saw below the roofs of the city of Kobe. Beyond lay a body of water. We looked at it, it seemed almost at the same moment, and almost as if with one voice, we thought the same thing and expressed the same words. We said, "Is that the harbor of Kobe?" And Mr. Corey Sensei said, "Yes, it is." And then again, almost as if with one voice, we said aloud what we were both thinking. Oh, it was in that harbor that Miss Lottie Moon died on Christmas Eve, 1912. As we said this, we looked at Corey Sensei to see if he knew of this great event, the homegoing of Miss Lottie Moon. He did, and he said, "Yes, it was in that harbor that she passed away. And this church in which you are standing today was built with Lottie Moon Christmas offering funds." One of the greatest blessings that came to Women's Missionary Union in its organization was the fact that Miss Lottie Moon, way out there in China, stimulated the charter members of Women's Missionary Union to have a week of prayer and to take an offering for missions. This was just the beginning. She stimulated an interest that initiated a phase of our program that has endured until today and is the pattern for our week of prayer for foreign missions and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Through the years, women have gathered at the beginning of the Christmas season to pray for people abroad, for missionaries who labor there and nationals who labor with them. The week of prayer is a means of tying all who participate to 46 countries in which our Foreign Mission Board works. It is a means of tying each one who participates to the 1,517 missionaries who serve under the Foreign Mission Board. It is not only a time when we pray for missionaries, but it is a time when missionaries pray for us. For on most mission fields, we found that the week of prayer is observed. Always about November, letters begin to come from mission fields, showing us how much the missionaries depend upon the week of prayer. Last year, Mrs. Mathis and I read these letters with such interest, particularly those coming from the countries we had been privileged to visit. One came from Baguio City, the beautiful city from which Mrs. Olive, who spoke yesterday, comes, the city in which we have the seminary there in the Philippines. And it was addressed not just to us, but to you, for it began, "Dear Christian friends, we had our Christmas in July because we moved into our lovely new Lottie Moon home here on the seminary campus. It is located on a pine-covered hill with a beautiful view of Baguio and the mountains. We are so grateful to all of you for making this home possible. As I unpacked and put each room in order, I prayed over and over again in my heart, 'Thank you, Lord, for all of those who had a part in making our home possible.'" From Bulawayo in southern Rhodesia, where Reverend David Lockhart is the president of the seminary, and he is here in this meeting with us, where our hearts were warmed and our hopes for the future of Baptist work heightened as we saw 19 ministers receive their diplomas and 19 wives given recognition for their 1 year of study. From that city comes this letter to us. "Dear friends, truly the wind of change is blowing throughout Africa. We ask you to pray that we may have wisdom in these changing times. Perhaps you will receive this letter during the Lottie Moon week. May God bless your meetings and the prayers that are offered. We also will be observing the week here as we teach our people about a whole world that needs our Christ and his message of salvation, of hope, of peace. Also remember that a great deal of our work around the world depends on your birthday gifts to Jesus through this Christmas offering. From faraway Bangkok, Thailand, the city of tinkling temple bells, and in which there is no more familiar sight than the yellow-robed men of the Buddhist priesthood, came this letter. "Dear friends, we have recently received the good news that the Foreign Mission Board has appropriated the money to buy land and build our mission house. You probably realize that this appropriation is possible because of your gifts to the Lottie Moon offering. For this, we are most grateful to all of you." And from that country of Nigeria in West Africa, where we have had mission work now for more than 110 years, came this letter. "Dear friend, the year 1960 will always be remembered in these parts as the year of independence. For on October the 1st, Nigeria came into full nationhood. The fact of her attainment of independence is no more noteworthy than the manner in which it came about. It has been observed that probably no country in the world has so large a number of Baptists in high places of leadership in government as Nigeria has." How did this come about? Through evangelism in the schools, in the churches, in the hospitals that we have had in that country for more than a century. Last December, Mrs. Mathis received gratifying replies from many of the pastors who received her letter. The letter was authorized by our board, and she sent it to the nearly 30,000 pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention. And one particularly thrilled our hearts. The writer said, "I am a pastor of a rural church with 356 resident members. Last year, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal was $2,215. Our goal this year is $2,500. That goal in a church of 356 members. These are reports of past achievements. Surely we are grateful to God for his blessings and for the victorious offering of the last December, which was $8,238,471.07. Of this offering, Dr. Baker James Cawthon said, "There is no way I can express adequately the dependence we feel upon the Lottie Moon Christmas offering as we press ahead in world mission service." Now, what about this year? The dates for the week of prayer are November the 27th to December the 1st. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal adopted by the executive board on Saturday night was $9,390,000. Such a glorious offering can come only as the result of earnest prayer and hard work in enlisting the support of more and more individuals in more and more churches. We shall center our thoughts during the week on the beautiful second chapter of Luke, in which we have the account of Joseph and Mary traveling from the city of Nazareth to Bethlehem, where Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The theme for the week of prayer will come from the angel's song, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings to all people is the theme depicted upon the beautiful poster, with a scene of light and shepherds in the background, and in the foreground an outline of the world and faces of people to whom the good tidings bring joy, peace, and redemption. Those who miss not a day will have the complete theme developed in tidings of great joy, tidings of peace, tidings to all people, tidings of redemption. And then on Friday, when we bring to a close our week of prayer, and when the women all around the world in every country are joining in the Baptist Women's Day of Prayer around the world, our theme will be They That Publish the Tidings. Day by day, we shall sing the good tidings in O little town of Bethlehem, joy to the world, while shepherds watch their flock by night. O Zion, haste, come women, wide proclaim. From day to day, there will be testimonies of joy brought by the gospel, stories from lands where of tension which reveal how the gospel brings peace to human hearts and to human relations, a summary of recent accomplishments on foreign mission fields, and a presentation of unfinished tasks and urgent needs, the relationship of the missionaries and the nationals in publishing the tidings. And for the week, you will be given a little breakfast table reminder, which will remind you to have all the members of your family begin each day with prayer for the missionaries. And what will be the result? A powerful undergirding of all of our work abroad, the kind of undergirding that can come only from prayer, and an offering that will truly come from hearts overflowing with gratitude for the privilege of having a share in spreading good tidings to all people.
You will be happy to know that the hymn of 1961-62 is the glorious Isaac Watts hymn, Jesus Shall Reign, Where'er the Sun Does His Successive Journeys Run. Let us turn in your little red hymn book to hymn number 17. Hymn number 17, and let us stand as we sing. Success.
Last summer at the 10th Congress of the Baptist World Alliance, Dr. Joseph Nordenhauer, president of our seminary yonder in Zurich, Switzerland, was elected executive secretary for the Baptist World Alliance. Dr. Nordenhauer is here on the platform this morning and will lead us in prayer at this time.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, how excellent is thy name, how wonderful thy gospel revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have come to an experience of his salvation through faith by thy grace. We thank thee for the confidence thou hast in us in calling us to serve thee around the world. We confess before thee how far short we have fallen. We are ashamed of the littleness of our devotion, the fractional commitment of our lives, and plead for thy forgiveness. We intercede for our fellow men everywhere, in all the lands of the earth. We long for the day when the kingdoms of this earth shall have become the kingdom of our Lord Christ. We beseech thee, our Father, that we may be endued with thy Spirit, that there may be more earnestness in our consecration, that the vision we see this morning may be matched by our devotion and loyalty and faithfulness. In this critical day in the history of man, in this atomic space age, wilt thou, O not our Heavenly Father, pour out upon thy people, young and old, of thy Spirit, that our testimony may be clear and uncluttered by selfishness, smugness, self-righteousness, and our proclivity to comfort in the midst of need. We thank thee for these consecrated missionaries around the world who have spoken to us today. And we beseech thee that as we listen now to thy servant, that our hearts may be open, yes, and our minds, in the name of Christ. Amen.